ready to go. I know it's Mother's Day, but first I always want to point out it's always nice to see all these young adults here. None of us here in the church will ever stop bragging on you. We're so happy to see you. I'm going to take every chance I get. And it's, of course, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. It's wonderful to see all the mothers out here today. And before Brother Mike reads the scriptures, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Thank you, as we mentioned before, for this little church here on the hill that we come to praise you and honor you and love you. Thank you, O precious Heavenly Father, for the mothers that you have given us, whether they're still with us or gone. Thank you for them, and thank you for the grandmothers. Thank you for this day that we can come out here freely and worship you, that our country is at peace. We pray for all the countries around the world that is at war. We ask you to be with them. Put a special hedge of protection around them. Thank you for all the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us that we don't even realize that you're doing for us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, that you sent to this earth so that our sins can be forgiven. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, I'll go back and Brother Mike can read 1 Samuel 19.
That's okay, Joe. I'll stand right here in the middle. This starting in the 21st verse, Joe?
The 19th we have wrote
19th?
Down.
19th? Okay.
Yep.
1 Samuel 1, chapter, 1 Samuel 1, starting in verse 19. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When her husband Elkanah went up with all the family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you," her husband Elkanah told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there.
Thank you, Brother Mike. I checked, and just as my orders, it says 19 through 28.
Okay.
I got from Pastor Mike.
Make sure you're recording, Joe.
Yes, we're recording. I don't know if our mic is working. Hello. Now maybe we're back on.
There you go.
All right. So, of course, today, the title of today's message is A Mother's Love. Heidi and I are very fortunate to still have our moms. And they are both such a blessing to us. In my younger years, my mom and dad divorced when I was like 10. And my mom raised me along with her mom. And we had such great times, you know. She still made sure that I had opportunities, even though she worked very hard. And she worked and, you know, didn't make a whole lot of money. And we still had the scouting adventures and family adventures. And she made sure that we all knew that she loved us. And, of course, when I got married to Heidi, I gained another mom, Marilyn. And a lot of you all know Miss Marilyn. And we, me and Heidi always say that with the kids, and when you're so busy working, both of us, that we would have never made it without Marilyn. Because she is there, you know how it goes, to get them off the bus and be with them and lead them and guide them. And, of course, Clarence also. But Marilyn made sure, and still to this day makes sure, that we know that she loves us. So even though she's past 80, we'll be careful here. So she's still mostly on Thursday nights. When we get home on Thursday nights, she has supper for Heidi and I. And it's an amazing thing to visit with her and be there with her and discuss over the week and the day and everything. So she still makes sure we know that she loves us. So Pastor Mike has just read the scripture in 1 Samuel 19 through 28. And, of course, some of this is going to be a review from what Pastor Mike opened up the book of Samuel. And then, but as we can see, we are going to try to gain some further insight to Hannah and her showing her love from her perspective, a mother's perspective. So let us remember who all is involved with Hannah and the family for which Samuel the prophet was born. The law required that all adult Hebrew males to appear at the tabernacle or temple of the Lord for three major religious festivals every year. Elkanah, Samuel's father, went year after year to worship and sacrifice the Lord, as we saw in Samuel 1:3. Hannah also went along, even though she didn't have to go. She was not required to go, even, and the men were. They were people who set a good example before their family and neighbors, even though that they did not have a perfect family. As Mike pointed out last week, Hannah could not have kids, and Elkanah married Peninnah, and she had kids. In that day, when Elkanah would go up to worship, there in that time, in that particular time, there was a general neglect of religion in the nation. And Samuel 3:1, chapter 3, verse 1 says, "In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. People at the time did not have much interest in God, although they worshiped other gods." So, also, we know that with Elkanah having two wives, it caused a lot of division in the family. And, of course, there's a lot of families like this today, where, like mine, where there was divorce and situations like that. And Peninnah had children, and Hannah did not, and she gave Hannah a rough time. In those days, it was a disgrace if women didn't have children. So we saw that Elkanah had married Peninnah in order to have children. So this is the setting in which the story took place. What does this say to us on Mother's Day? There are three main attributes about Hannah that we are going to focus on today. And these attributes are important today as they were then. These attributes today are being consistent, being committed, and being faithful.
Amen.
Number one, consistent. Hannah was consistent in seeking the Lord for her need, the need to have children. She prayed, we're assuming, for years, because the Bible telling us that year after year they went up to worship. We also know that Peninnah had sons and daughters, and we are assuming many. And of course, she brought this up probably often to Hannah. We also know that Peninnah provoked Hannah until she would weep. But she didn't get an answer right away. Does Hannah give up and say, "Oh, well, the good Lord doesn't mean for me to have children. In verse 7, it says, she wept and did not eat. When she went up to the house of the Lord that year, in verse 10 says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. In verse 15, she said, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. And in this prayer, she was very specific in what she wanted. Number one, of course, she prayed for a son. Number two, she made a vow in saying that she would give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. This dedication of her son was a commitment to the Nazarite vow described in the book of Numbers in chapter 6, 1 through 8. And I'll read it really quick for us. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or a woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazarite, they must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat raisins or grapes as long as they remain under the Nazarite vow. They must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins. During the entire period of the Nazarite vow, no razor may be used on their head. They must be holy until the period of dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. And on down in the verses, because the symbol of their dedication to God is on their head throughout the period of their dedication, they are consecrated to the Lord. So that just gives us some idea what vow Hannah was speaking about in the verses today that we found back in Numbers.
But
we see that this was not a short apprenticeship. With the Nazarite vow, his very childhood would be sacred, devoted to the service of God, and set apart for this service by the way he dressed, what he ate, how his hair was cut. When she said, no razor shall come upon his head, she was saying that the boy would be dedicated to the Lord his whole life, someone who lives for God. The prayer came from her heart. She poured out her prayer. But the question is this, would she be able to keep this vow? Did she realize the full impact of what she was praying to the Lord for? How many times do we pray and say, God, if you will do this for me, I will do this? We bargain with God, but then when he answers us, do we remember our pledge, what we pledge to do? Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't.
Amen.
Hannah had shown a previous consistency in her life year after year. It wasn't just an empty promise. She didn't have things go perfect for her. Peninna taunted her, and even Eli at the temple thought she had been drinking. Her consistency was shown even in trying circumstances. Finally, she was able to get Eli to understand, and he said in verse 17, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked.
Amen.
She had committed her case to the Lord, and she was no longer sad. It says in verse 18 that she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. When we are praying about something, we need to pray earnestly.
Amen.
And consistently, as Hannah did, and then commit the entire thing to God.
Yeah.
Her day-by-day, year-by-year, consistent lifestyle probably was a key factor in helping her do this. Is our lifestyle one of consistency before our family and our children and our grandchildren? Do they know that they can count on us to be living the life when they need us to pray for them? Grandmothers and mothers, when you're children and grandchildren say, I'm having a tough time this week. Can you pray for me? Do you have to say, well, I'm not really in touch with the Lord right now. I don't know what to say. Maybe you could call a prayer group and see if they can pray for you. I know that that's not true in this church. I know that all mothers and grandmothers will pray and do pray for their children and grandchildren.
Amen.
We want to be living consistent lives like Hannah, who had a relationship with God. Verse 10 says, she prayed to the Lord. She knew what to say. Mothers and grandmothers know what to say and what to pray for. Your children and grandchildren and all other children are coming in contact with. Extend your consistent Christian lifestyle out to other children and grandchildren, as well as nieces and nephews, and the list goes on and on. Neighbors, neighbor children, and everybody.
Amen.
So we know that Hannah was consistent for what she wanted, but then she was also committed to keeping her vow. When God answered her prayer, that opened up a whole new set of problems and circumstances for Hannah. She named this baby boy Samuel, meaning because I asked the Lord for him, and now she was going to have to give him up in a very short time. Some commentaries say that it was when he was around 3, as it was customary for a child to be nursed until he was around 3 years old. Others say he was a little older, maybe around 5. She probably had some second thoughts by that time after she had bonded with little Samuel. The Lord had answered, and now she had a son she wanted so desperately for years. The Lord didn't ask her to make this vow in the first place, so was it really all that important, is what maybe she thought. No, this woman was very consistent in her life still, was very committed to her vow, and in verse 22 says, after the boy is weaned, I will take him up and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always, not for a few days or a month, but always. How do you think that Hannah felt? I think it was probably harder for her to keep this vow than maybe she thought in the beginning. Samuel was not going up to the temple for a short apprenticeship. He was dedicated to the Lord's service. She was giving him to the Lord for as long as he lived. Could she do it when the time come? Can you imagine Hannah's tears leaving little Samuel at the temple, and Samuel's tears when his mom left him at the temple? She waved goodbye and left. We can think back in the Bible to Abraham in Genesis 22:2. And then God said, take your son, your only son, who you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain, I will show you. Similar events in that Abram had a son by Hagar, another wife, but it was many years later in Sarah's life when Isaac was born. But then Abraham was called to sacrifice Isaac. We know how the story goes. Abraham was fulfilling what he was told to do when the angel of the Lord called out and said in Genesis 22:12, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. A voice was likely saying to Hannah, you did not withhold your son. I know you fear the Lord as you are giving up your son. What a woman of faith. What a consistent, committed woman. So here is a short story. There was a little boy that wanted to surprise his grandmother, who was visiting his house one morning, and he brought her a cup of coffee. He had made it himself, and he was very proud. He anxiously waited on his grandma's verdict on how the coffee was. The grandma had never tasted such a terrible cup of coffee in her life. It was absolutely awful, but she forced the coffee down to the last sip. Then she noticed in the bottom of her coffee cup, there were 3 little army guys. She asked him, why would there be 3 little army guys in my coffee cup? And he answered, you know, grandma, just like on TV, the best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. Hannah Hannah might have had some humorous stories to tell about little Samuel. Would she, could she let him go? Elkanah said, his father, okay, do as you feel you should do. What did she say? She said, for this child I prayed, and I have lent him to the Lord for as long as he lives. She was not going to recall him. I think that committed to her vow shows her commitment to her vow shows a mother's love. Can we think of times when we made vows, but were not all that committed to keeping them? When parents are asked at baptism of their children, will you raise this child in faith? Is that vow taken as a long-term commitment? Sometimes it is, and sometimes it is not. Hannah didn't know how the Lord would answer future prayers for her. All she knew was that she was faithful to keeping this vow. We know that Hannah would see her son Samuel, which is in chapter 2, verse 19, each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Her mother's love continued throughout his lifetime, perhaps in a different way than it would have been if he had been living at home.
Amen.
Scripture says that Samuel grew in favor with the Lord and with men. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And also it says about Jesus in Luke 2:52, said the same thing about Jesus. He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Because of this mother's love to this child, the Lord was able to fulfill his plan and purpose for Samuel's life. In the coming weeks, we will see that Hannah's son Samuel will be the one to restore Israel. Hannah gave Samuel up to the Lord. Her willingness to give her son to the Lord and to endure suffering ended up being a blessing for everyone and all of us. Would she have been able to give him up if she didn't have struggles that came beforehand? In all things, God is going to work for good. We ask for struggles and hardship to be removed from us. If we go through hardships and struggles and continue to trust in the Lord, good things will work out.
Amen.
God's purpose will be worked out. Hannah remained faithful. And in Samuel chapter 2, 20 and 21, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Scripture says that the Lord gave her 3 more sons and 2 daughters. All of us need these characteristics in our life, not just mothers and grandmothers. Be a consistent Christian who serves the Lord day in and day out like Hannah did. Consistent in front of our children and grandchildren or any other children who are in our care. In spite of this chaotic society in which we live, they will be able to see our stability and consistency. When we make a vow to the Lord, we need to be committed to carry it out, whether it proves to be an easy thing or a difficult thing. God honored Hannah's commitment and was always faithful. At this Mother's Day, let us make a priority for God to be at the center of our life. And our children will know that our lifestyle is first of all one of serving the Lord, and He is a priority in our life.
Amen.
So next, I would like to share a different type of Mother's Day story, but it's still, nonetheless, a great Mother's Day story. And this story is a story of hope by a lady named Holly Girth. And she writes, I'd like to tell you a Mother's Day story. It starts with a wedding, a boy and a girl standing at the altar. They said, I do, and everything seems so simple. Years later, when they thought about having children, they said, we will, and thought it would be the same, only it wasn't. Instead of picking out pink or blue onesies for the reveal, they stared month after month at a pregnancy test saying they wasn't pregnant. There were tears, prayers, moments of anger and frustration. There was the loss of a little one that slipped to heaven even before a hello could be said on earth. They wondered what family would look like for them if maybe, and they thought maybe they had did something wrong or been disqualified. Then one night she watched a special on television about foster kids who age out of the system when they're 18 and they say, have a nice life. And she wondered, who would cheer for them at college? Who would walk them down the aisle when they got married? Who would rock their babies? Who would they call when they had a bad day or they had lost their job? She said, that's not okay. That's not okay at all. In the meantime, God showed her that she didn't have to be a physical mother to still be a mama. In Genesis, Eve is called the mother of all living. All women are mothers, she discovered, because all women bring life into the world in some way. So she birthed books. She wrote books, and her friends threw her a book shower. She got to mother women all over the world with her words. She started to heal, but there was still a place deep inside her, save for someone. She prayed for her child who was out there somewhere without knowing a name or a face. Years went by, and she was invited to a banquet at Saving Grace, a place for girls who age out of the foster system or would otherwise be homeless. She met a 20-year-old young woman that night, and she knew almost instantly, this is my daughter. Her husband agreed, and it took time. There were lunches, conversations, hugs, and misunderstandings, and prayers, and they did the awkward dance of becoming a family until they knew it by heart. One day, that girl, Lavelle, moved into their guest bedroom, took their last name, and called them Mom and Dad. Later, Lavelle met a boy, and her dad walked her down the aisle in a white dress. She and the groom also said, I do. She writes that more time passed, and last fall, Lavelle called, emotion in her voice, and said, Mom, I'm pregnant. She said, I almost dropped the phone because this Mother's Day story was very exciting because it was hers. Holly was so excited because she was going to be a grandma. Just last week, she sat next to her daughter at another banquet for Saving Grace. Holly leaned over and placed her hand on the beautiful belly. She felt a flutter, her granddaughter saying hello for the first time. Her eyes filled with tears. Holly thought of her husband and her on their wedding day, all the negative pregnancy tests, meeting Lavelle for the first time, becoming a family, Lavelle's wedding, and she knew that her and her husband would be grandparents. Then she imagined what years from now may hold as she holds that beautiful little girl. Story times, bubble baths, and trips to the zoo to see long-necked giraffes. Oh, there is so much yet to be. If you are hurting this Mother's Day, know for sure there is hope, and your story is not over yet. It may not look like what you imagine, but it will be good. Holly continues by saying that if you're celebrating this Mother's Day, then she is joining in with you as a daughter, a mama, and a grandma, a woman who has come to understand what extravagant grace from God looks like. She will wrap her arms around her family today, and she will be grateful, so grateful, that nothing turned out the way she had planned. Proper stories seem to close with the end, but that doesn't seem quite right at this moment, because this feels like it's still only the beginning. There is so much more to come, she writes. I can't wait to meet you, little one. So I would like to wish all the mothers and grandmothers here a happy Mother's Day and say that, ladies, you are all part of the great story of motherhood. God is writing from generation to generation, from Eve to eternity. Let us pray.
Amen. Great job.
Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you once again for the chance to come out and worship you freely. Oh, Father, thank you for your creation. Thank you for the way that you intended it. Thank you for the mothers that we have and had. Thank you for the grandmothers that help raise us and lead and guide and direct us. Thank you for your amazing design, the way that you intended it for it to work out. Thank you, Father, as we've heard in other stories, that sometimes there's different circumstances, that you was right there behind and you led these people together in foster situations all over the country and the earth. We know that there's so many situations where somebody did not have anybody and a mom or a grandma stepped up to take them and love them and lead and guide them. Thank you for those people. Thank you, of course, for your son, Jesus. Thank you that we could come out and worship you. Thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Please lead and guide and direct us into the next week. Let us try to look to Jesus as our model. Let us look to him for the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and help us and show us the right way and keep us from sinning. And all these things, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Pastor Mike will come and finish this wonderful Mother's Day service.
Very good, Joe. Thank you very much for that message. Let's stand and close your worship by singing 187. 187.
Be a time.